Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio. Are you kidding me? Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome once again to another edition of Wrestle Chat Radio. Bear with us for just a moment, please, because we are going to be resetting our audio for better performance. We'll be right back. Okay, well, let's try this again.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio.
Alrighty, folks, sorry about that. We had a little bit of audio issues. Welcome once again to another edition of Wrestle Chat Radio. Marcus Kane coming to you live from the SBTV studios right here in New York. And for the next 2 hours, we will be discussing the world of professional wrestling at 347-215-8486, 347-215-8486, if you'd like to get in on our conversation. Of course, as always, you can hit us up in the chat room, and we'll take your questions, your comments, and your opinions there as well. The show this week, folks, is primarily going to deal with the word overrated, because the controversy is heated up once again about who the most overrated wrestlers in the business actually are. And it's very disturbing to see fans comment on this because, number one, the term itself has too many branches. Are you saying overrated as far as their technical ability in the ring? Are you saying overrated as far as their popularity or their ability to draw? It's a very complex subject, and it's very disappointing to see, especially some of the newer fans, what their opinions are. So we're going to dig into this a little bit because it might be time for everybody to go back and learn their history about professional wrestling and what it really is and what it's really supposed to be, and not necessarily how many moves can you do in an 8-minute match. We're going to take that in the last half of the show, however, because we got some things to talk about, don't we? Vince McMahon himself supposedly, possibly booked for a WrestleMania match. That's unbelievable. That's absolutely unbelievable. Now, they've hinted his opponent might be Pat McAfee. I cannot believe this is true. I refuse to believe this is true until they actually announce that this is true. And I'll tell you why, because Pat McAfee does not have the experience to go in there with a 74, 5-year-old individual and do this type of match. I don't believe it. I don't believe they would ever do this. Now, he is going to be on the Pat McAfee show, which is very unusual because Vince McMahon doesn't do too many interviews these days. When was his last one? I think it was all the way back with, like, Stone Cold, right? And that was years and years and years ago. So this is very unusual. So something's up. But just because he's on the Pat McAfee show does not necessarily mean he's going to face Pat McAfee. I just don't believe that's going to happen. Number one, it would pretty much negate McAfee being in any way, shape, or form an announcer or a commentator, I should say, during WrestleMania, and I don't think they'll do that. Number two, like I said, I don't think he has the experience to be in there with somebody like that, and I don't think they would do that either. But certainly Vince McMahon apparently has some plan. Now, whether this plan is to get in an argument with Pat McAfee, in which Pat McAfee may say, well, get yourself a wrestler and I'll pick myself a wrestler and we'll be in their corners or something. That could happen. And if that happens, then it's going to be Austin Theory. And it will be Austin Theory against somebody Pat McAfee picks. I don't know who Pat McAfee would pick. But to say they're going one-on-one against each other Mike, that sounds very, very, very unlikely to me.
Yeah, very, very unlikely. Could we see, though, could we see the person that he picks, that McAfee picks, possibly be, oh, let's say, Shane McMahon?
I mean, yeah, I guess that's possible. I don't know. At this stage, so much is up in the air with WrestleMania, I can't really wrap my head around it. Because we already have Johnny Knoxville going, I guess, for a title, which is amazing in itself. We're going to have maybe a match where there's a 70-some-odd-year-old man in a match. Celebrities and gimmick matches are abounding here, and I'm not liking it. Not liking it at all. So I hope this rumor is not true. We'll stay on to this a little bit, but I hope this isn't true. I don't want to see Vince McMahon in the ring, period. Not that he's not capable. He might be. But he hasn't really been front and center for a long time, so does it really matter? Does it really matter if someone beats Vince McMahon? What is accomplished by beating Vince McMahon? At this stage, what is accomplished? Nothing. Derek's saying maybe that's what will happen, you know. He'll pick Austin Theory, and maybe McAfee will pick, like, KO or somebody. I don't know. I do know that you cannot expect Vince McMahon to get in a ring with a guy who did put on a couple of good matches. McAfee put on a couple of good matches. But he doesn't have that experience factor. If Vince McMahon is going to get in that ring, it has to be with someone he trusts literally with his life. He literally trusts to protect him and make him look good every step of the way. It's not going to be Pat McAfee. Now, nobody's a bigger Pat McAfee fan than me. I just posted saying I think it's the best move the WWE's made in 10 years, hiring Pat McAfee. He brings energy to it. He brings enthusiasm to it. He genuinely seems like he loves the business. And he's fun to listen to. You can't ask for more than that. But I don't want to see him fight Vince McMahon. I'm sorry, I don't. I don't want to see Vince McMahon in there at all. It's not and Vince McMahon picks Austin Theory. Well, that makes some sense because Vince McMahon has been sort of taking Austin Theory under his wing. So if Vince is at ringside for Austin Theory's match, yeah, okay, I get that. Even if he gets physically involved, if you want to do that, okay. But please, not a match. We don't need a match at this point, Tom. If we have a match with Vince McMahon, it's not going to be good.
Yeah, I think that's 100% ridiculous for Vince McMahon at 70-plus years old to, you know, get back in the ring. And it's not, you know, on Monday Night Raw, fine. On SmackDown, okay, fine. But not WrestleMania. But there's guys that have worked their tails off the whole entire year. Give that moment to them. Just like I disagree with the whole Johnny Knoxville thing. Johnny Knoxville should not be at WrestleMania, period. He should not be fighting for a title, especially the Intercontinental title that has lineage dating back to Pat Patterson, the first Intercontinental champion. That is crapping on the title. Johnny Knoxville is an actor, and by the way, not a very good one. And I don't want to see Vince McMahon in the ring. I didn't want to see Vince McMahon 20 years ago in the ring at WrestleMania, but we had to endure it because it's whatever. But
yeah, now to clear it up, Derek's saying he didn't mean Austin Theory. He means Steve Austin, Stone Cold Steve Austin. I don't think so. That match doesn't need that. They already have Stone Cold Steve Austin returning. We don't need Vince in the corner. And we don't need Pat McAfee. I don't know why Pat McAfee would be in Stone Cold Steve Austin's corner anyway. We're just going to have to wait and see. My assumption is it has something to do with Austin Theory. But maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. Todd, does anybody really need to see Vince McMahon compete at WrestleMania?
Absolutely not. Like you said, like you said about Vince McMahon, I don't think he should return to the ring at all. And, you know, it's due to the surgeries he had and everything.
Yeah, I don't think anything good comes out of it. That's why I just, it doesn't happen. We'll see. I'll watch the Pat McAfee show, and we'll see what ends up happening, and certainly keep our eye on it. But until then, I don't know if the rumors are true. Here's some more rumors. I don't know whether they're true or not. We said we were very skeptical about Cody Rhodes and whether this thing was true, not true, whether the WWE wanted him back, whether he signed with the WWE. I know The Miz last week sort of indicated by saying his opponent, his tag team partner was dashing and came from a family of fighters and all. Turned out to be obviously Logan Paul. Where is he then? Where is he? WrestleMania is right around the corner. You got 30 days till WrestleMania. If Cody Rhodes is actually going to be a part of the WWE, he's going to be a part of WrestleMania. And you don't have long. So the clock is running out, and I would suspect that if you don't see him in the next week, maybe at the end of the second week, I would not expect to see him at all. And I'm still skeptical. I'm still skeptical because of Tony Khan's supposed big announcement this week. What happens if his big announcement is I bought Ring of Honor? Taking over Ring of Honor, maybe Cody's going over there to run the ship. Maybe this thing was all just a bluff. Because I suspect Tony Khan has a bigger announcement than I just signed somebody else, because that's what he does every week. And I can't imagine what that other thing would be. If he indeed did purchase Ring of Honor, and indeed one of the first people over there that's going to sort of be in charge and maybe in-ring as well as Cody Rhodes, that might make some sense. But as it stands now, I've heard no one say, other than Pat McAfee said, I guess Cody Rhodes is on his way here. I've heard nothing about negotiations. I've heard nothing about WrestleMania plans. So they're either keeping it as tight-lipped as they can be, or it's not happening, Mike. I'm not 100% sure which to believe.
Yeah, I would think that your theory about Ring of Honor might be closer to the truth than a lot of people might want to admit. I mean, it would make sense. You said Cody Rhodes created. Yeah, Tony Khan's the money man behind. But this was Cody Rhodes' AEW was Cody Rhodes' baby, and he did a fine job in creating it, right? Well, yep. It would make sense to send the guy who helped create the thing to reinvigorate Ring of Honor and send him and his wife there to help invigorate Ring of Honor. Who knows? Who knows? You buy Ring of Honor, Ring of Honor might very well end up on –
Okay, we're having really bad audio problems, folks. So we are going to reset one more time because we're having really bad. I cannot even hear people on the phone. So we're going to try to reset this one more time. Bear with us. Hopefully this will be. Alrighty, folks. Hopefully that's a little better. Yeah, you know, Mike, this Ring of Honor thing seems like it could be plausible.
Right. And like I said, who knows? Tony Khan, Lord knows Tony Khan has the money. At least Tony Khan's dad has the money to buy Ring of Honor. Now, and like I said, who knows? If this is as plausible as we think it might be, then Ring of Honor may be headed to possibly being on TNT or TBS, you know? There's your TV deal.
Yeah, I heard most of that. Wow, we're having real problems. We're having real problems with the audio. Maybe it's just me. I don't know. We're going to try to get through this. Anyway, you know, some people are even saying they don't want to see Austin, but I think Austin coming back is one more match, if he can do a short match. I think people would like to see that for the most part, especially in Texas. So, you know, he's okay. I get him. I don't know why anybody wants to see Johnny Knoxville. I don't know why anybody wants to see Logan Paul. And I really don't know anybody who really wants to see Vince McMahon. So apparently everybody can hear me fine, so the problem's on my end, so I can't blame Blog Talk Radio. So, folks, let's get with it. Let's fix my sound, okay? Anyway, let's talk a little bit also about this week's horrible, terrible. Now, I know some people may disagree and say, well, you had some big moments in it. This was the most boring SmackDown I believe I've seen in ages. You trudged back out the Los Lotharios to fight the New Day one more time. It's three times in a row because, yeah, you found out they had chemistry. When you find out they have chemistry, here's a newsflash. Let's not do it every week for eternity. You left people with a good taste in their mouth saying those two teams have real good chemistry and they're 1-1. Leave it alone. Now you've killed it because this was the third match was the worst match. This was the worst match out of the three. So now people are going, the chemistry wasn't so good. Yeah, because you did it to death. By the way, you can see how serious COVID is because they let Los Lotharios kiss whoever they want. There's nobody wearing a mask. They're kissing them. I know she's a plant. I don't care if she's a plant. Hilarious to watch. That team is too good. I'm sorry to tell you. I know. Everybody loses to the New Day. The New Day is a phenomenal team. I went down on record saying the New Day is one of the greatest teams in the history of the WWE, and I mean it. But my God, can we have another team that's good too? Can we? Los Lotharios are real good, and you need to push them. Can't be another version of Columbus. Because that's exactly what it's starting to remind me of. Remember when the Colognes came in and they were going to be a big deal and then it was just garbage, right? These guys have something. Don't keep putting them against the New Day to get squashed. Let's see them go on a tear. You had 1-1 with the New Day. That should have been it. It was kind of a draw. We don't know who the better team is. And then Los Lotharios or whatever they're called now, they go on there. Their major win streak, while New Day can do the same thing. And we anticipate, man, they're going to meet again for that third and rubber match. And that's going to be great. And that should have been a pay-per-view or something. No, it's just we don't have anything else to do this week, so we'll just throw them out there and Lotharios take a bath again, and now all of a sudden, Mike, they're no big deal again.
Right, and think about this. We know how good the stuff is between New Day and the Usos, right? How good the chemistry is there. I'm going to go ahead and say this, that I think the chemistry would be very good between the Usos and Los Lotharios. I think that chemistry would be there.
Yeah, well, see, here's the good thing about Los Lotharios. Both of those guys are second and third and maybe fourth, I don't know, generation wrestlers. They get it. They can work with just about anybody in just about any style, and they're fine. These are the kind of people you want to say, okay, we need to promote you guys because we can count on a good match from you with just about any team. Instead, you're just killing them. Makes no sense. Now let's get to the Ronda Rousey thing. Because I've been hard on Ronda Rousey. I've also said that I've seen her in interviews. I've seen her on talk shows. She seems like a very articulate, intelligent, and nice person. She cannot be a professional wrestler. I'm sorry, she cannot be. I have more faith in Johnny Knoxville at this point. Because she just doesn't get it. I don't know. She says, I'm the biggest Roddy Piper fan in the world. She's modeled her entrance graphics after him and everything. Well, if you are a Roddy Piper fan, you didn't learn anything. because Roddy Piper's main gimmick was I can sell my fights. I have never seen anyone in my life more stoic and unconvincing as Ronda Rousey. I just don't understand it. She can't do it. She gets in the ring, and honest to God, she looks like a fan you pulled out of the audience who was nervous. I'm waiting for her to say, hi, Mom, I'm on TV, because that's what she looks like. And she has to fall back to, wait a minute, I'm supposed to be a hard ass, so she just scowls. It's terrible. She has no personality on television, not as a face, not as a heel, not as anything. And worst of all, we could maybe get away with that. But worst of all, she can't even sell. She has no idea how to sell. Sonya Deville literally chop blocks her knee out from underneath her. And she barely even falls down. She just sort of leans on the rope and gives her a dirty look like, was that supposed? And it's like if you chucked a fucking spitball at the Hulk. And they just go, hey, what the hell was that? Is it possible that with how many knee surgeries did Ronda Rousey have? Is it possible that she could have grabbed her leg in agony and rolled around a little bit and sold a little bit for Sonya Deville since you're going to fight her next week? Could you have sold just the tiniest little bit? So now it looks like, well, why isn't she tearing her head off? She's just sitting there waiting for Charlotte Flair to pull her out of the ring. Because she's obviously not hurt. She's just leaning on the ropes going, fire bad. And then she gets pulled out of the ring. And you're like, well, if that didn't hurt, why didn't she get right up and go after Sonya? She has no ability to sell. She can't use the mic. She has no ability to sell. Certainly, in real life, she could tear the heads off both of those women. But that doesn't matter because that's not what pro wrestling is about. And as much as I like her in the UFC and outside the ring, she's no professional wrestler. She's never going to be. She's one of these people you can't teach. Maybe it's because she's a real fighter and she don't get it. Because she's been told to try to act super bad and don't oversell. But the key to Ronda Rousey, and then she says, well, the fans boo me even when I'm a face. They boo you because there's nothing to be sympathetic about. You're like Steven Seagal in a movie where it's like, well, yeah, 45 people are going to jump me and they can't get in one punch. If they get in one punch, I'm not doing the movie because no one would believe it because I'm so tough. No, that's just the opposite. We look at it and laugh and say, well, that's just absolutely stupid. Well, it's the same thing with Ronda Rousey. If you want some sympathy for Ronda Rousey, if you want to get her to be a big face, she's got to take a beating. And the idea behind her toughness isn't that, oh, the beating doesn't hurt. The idea behind the toughness is I come back from it. The idea behind the toughness is you thought you put me out, but you didn't. Now, yeah, she sold to Charlotte Flair a little better. But there she is walking around backstage saying next week Sonya Deville is going to find out blah, blah, blah. Well, I thought you were hurt. I mean, at least you could have said, I don't even know if I'm physically capable of getting in the ring. But I'm not turning it down. I'm going to do the best I can next week. Maybe not 100%, but I bet you I'm enough a percent to take care of Sonya Deville. That would have been better than no selling everything. Mike, this is the problem with her. She has no mic skills, and she cannot sell at all.
Right. People may have had a problem with Hulk Hogan and what he did. But with Hulk Hogan, he sold up until the point at which you knew that he wasn't going to sell, right? There was a point when he would pop up, his eyes would bulge out of his head, he would wave his finger in front of your face, and you knew it was coming. But up until that point, he sold. I mean, look, there are people that have this experience in this octagon type thing that know what they're doing. I mean, Sonya Deville can sell. She can sell a fight. She's good on the mic. Riddle is pretty good. So is Shayna Baszler. She's not she's not that good on the mic, but she's better than Ronda Rousey, you know.
Yeah, it's sad because, listen, Ronda Rousey's a quality fighter, and she's the real deal. But I'm sorry to tell you, she does not get this. She just doesn't get it. Hulk Hogan's gimmick, The Undertaker's gimmick is, yeah, they no-sold because they were supposed to. Hulk Hogan sold. It just came to a point where he psyched himself up. And then all of a sudden the things didn't hurt for a minute and he came back. If Ronda Rousey wanted to do that, I'm okay. The Undertaker wasn't even supposed to be alive. And he sold more than Ronda Rousey. It always looks, she never looks like she's in pain. She always just looks like, how dare you hit me? That angers me that you'd have the hubris to strike me. Not that it hurt. Somebody got to work with her. If she really wants to do this, see, I don't think she does. I think she thought she did. When she first came in, I think she thought I would want to make the transition to be a permanent, full-time professional wrestler. She did it for a year and said, F this. Then she realized, well, I'm a mother now. I'm probably not going back into any kind of UFC fighting. There's big money to be had here. They can use my name. I don't hate it. I can do this. But she's not serious. She doesn't want to be this. And you can tell. Because she's not putting anything into it. Now, this is far from the only thing that went wrong. Far from the only thing. Let's talk about Naomi. What the hell happened to Naomi? Was she struck dumb in the last, I don't know, year? I'm starting to reverse my thoughts on Naomi. I don't know if you want to put her with Roman Reigns. She can't use the mic at all. I don't know what the hell happened. She can't even put a headset on. She's out there at ringside saying, I'm going to be the guest commentator. She can't put a headset on. I never heard of anything like this in my life. They're saying, Naomi, what do you think about? I can't get my headset on. Oh, my God. Oh, can somebody help her with a headset? And then she's just like, I'm happy to be here. Meanwhile, we're missing 14 moves. I don't know what the hell happened to her because she never was like that. She's bad. Tom, she's real bad now. And you almost can't give her the mic either.
It was god awful. It was like she came. It was almost like I thought she was drunk. I really did. First, she can't get her headset on. Then, like, we're missing all the stuff in the ring, and meanwhile, Naomi's stuttering all over herself. It was absolutely ridiculous. I almost turned it off. I really did. But I don't understand what the heck was going on with that. Let's play devil's advocate for a second. She's never been like that. So it could have been something that happened backstage that, you know, we're not privy to that could have thrown her off. But, you know.
Maybe it was just not being able to get the headset on. But look, she's never been brilliant on the mic. But she's better than this. Then she had to get in the ring and say, we're the next women's tag team champion. It was, oh, my God. And this is the best thing you can think of for Sasha Banks? I don't know what to say here, folks. If they're sending Sasha Banks in to help Naomi and pursue these women's tag team belts, then quite obviously there is no plan to put Naomi with Roman Reigns and that whole faction. If they don't do that, there's a reason. And I think the reason is they don't have any faith in her ability to use the mic. Think about this very carefully. Say what you want about Roman Reigns. He's done a brilliant job on that microphone. He's done a brilliant job being the head of the table and really selling that. He feels that that's his legacy. Jimmy and Jey Uso, far better than I ever thought either one of them was going to be. Especially Jey, who in the early stages of this was torn between doing what Roman said and doing what he thought was right, was brilliant on the mic. And of course, Paul Heyman is always gold on the mic. And I think at this point, they don't want to throw Naomi into the mix because it's going to come out like Paul Heyman's going to do a wonderful promo and say, we're doing this and that. And Roman Reigns going to say, acknowledge me, everybody. And the Usos are going to be saying, it's going to be, what do you think, Naomi? I can't get my headset on. You talking to me? They don't want that. So she's talking herself right out of her position. I truly believe that to be the case, Mike, because this is a natural thing that they would put her in their clique, and they're purposely steering away from it now. So they must see something that they don't want.
Well, yeah, and maybe that's what's getting to her, that at one point they were going to do this, and now they're steering away from it, and it's getting into her head, you know? Maybe that's what's going on, but maybe it's the best thing for them to do to put them with that clique and have Paul Heyman talk for her, at least for a short period of time, until she can get her feet under her. I mean, maybe they don't want to do it, but maybe that's the best thing for them to do is to do that.
Maybe, but I think they're fearful. I think they're fearful that she's going to blow it, and it's so good right now. They know this is their top thing, and they want everybody capable on the mic. I would just go to her and tell her. Now, I seen Naomi in a movie, and she had quite a few lines, and she seemed quite believable. And all right, I don't know why she can't do this anymore. She almost looks like she's disinterested. But you can't have that. You cannot have that. Not when you have people who can walk into that ring like, Becky Lynch and Charlotte Flair, and even lesser, Sasha Banks can certainly do it, and Bayley, who's coming back, she can do it, and any number of people can walk into that ring and just go from the hip and do a pretty good promo. And they can't have her stumbling around doing that. You just can't have it. Now here's something else you can't have, and I warned everybody about this. Johnny Knoxville's no professional wrestler either. Now, it's no secret, if you listen to this show on a regular basis, I'm not a Sami Zayn fan. He's an okay worker, but I don't like him. And the reason I don't like him is I think he's a loudmouth. I think he's a troublemaker, politically insane. And there's some things that I've seen him outside the ring doing. Yeah, I know he does some charity work and stuff, but I've seen him treat fans in ways I don't like. Having said that, he gave him the Huluva kick, a move that has finished off I don't know how many people, and nobody I ever saw ever kicked out of it. Once it's done, it's done. It was a very protected finisher. Johnny Knoxville didn't even fall down. He didn't even fall down, which I think, I can't prove it, but I think that's why Sami Zayn gave him the second one, and I think he really nailed him good. And I think he sent a message that, you know, if you're not going to sell it, then I'll give you something to sell, because that makes me look like an idiot, and it sure as hell did make you look like an idiot. 150-pound soaking wet dude who's never been in a ring got Huluva kicked, and he's just like, oh, wow, that sucks. Didn't care for that. When it's finished off, championship-quality wrestlers. This is what you get when you start mixing these celebrities who don't really know much about wrestling. It's, oh, yeah, I watch it once in a while. I think I can do that. He should have been out like a light. First time. And if Sami Zayn was planning to give him a second one, Sami Zayn should have had to prop him up in a corner like a wooden dummy. To the point where people said, Jesus, he's out on his feet. Don't give him another one. But no. Now, this is what I said should happen. He should beat the hell out of Johnny Knoxville. And Johnny Knoxville should say after that beating, I don't want any part of Sami Zayn. I'll find a wrestler. They were going to do that, fine, but Knoxville still blew it because he didn't sell the first Huluva kick. And I don't blame. If Sami Zayn is mad, I don't blame him. But I guess you really can't blame Johnny Knoxville because he don't know what the hell he's doing. Blame whoever decided to put him in the ring and not tell him in no uncertain terms when you get that kick. You go down like you were shot, and you do not move. He will eventually pick you back up for the second one if that's planned, and then you stay down too. This is why wrestlers don't want to work with celebrities, because half of them don't want to show any ass, and, oh, I'm Johnny Knoxville. I don't want to be knocked out by a haluva kick. Tough. Then don't get in the ring. Don't get in the ring. It's ludicrous, Mike, to watch Sami Zayn have to give that man two haluva kicks to make him stay down when one was enough to finish off anybody he ever gave it to.
Right. I'll put it to you this way, Marcus. There's a difference between Johnny Knoxville and Bad Bunny. Bad Bunny, even though we understand why he got mad, you know, with the Royal Rumble and stuff like that, because they switched his number and all that stuff. We understand why he got mad with that, you know. But he's a guy that's, you tell him what to do, he's going to do it, and he's going to sell, and he knows how to sell, and he gets it, right?
You would
that's
think.
That's Bad Bunny. Yeah. So, yeah. And I would wager to say that they're going to be willing to bring him back at some point to do something with him because he gets it. Whereas Johnny Knoxville, well, again, Bad Bunny's 27 years old. Johnny Knoxville is, what, 55, 50, something like that?
Yeah. Put it this way, Mike. If you ask Bad Bunny to do that spot, Bad Bunny would have went down with the first haluva kick and would have stayed down. You know why he would have went down with the first haluva kick and stayed down? Because he knows who Sami Zayn is. Because he knows what the move is. Because he actually watches the product. That's why. That's exactly why. So, I mean, we can be quick to dismiss Bad Bunny and say he doesn't belong in the ring, and I still say he doesn't unless he really wants to do it full time. But at least when he's in there, he conducts himself the way he should. In other words, when you watch Bad Bunny, you're always like, okay, he knows a few moves. He's better than people think he is. They've obviously took him for granted because they feel he's you know, too small, and he's a rapper, and so they just think, oh, he'll be a pushover, and he's not a pushover. But he also always looks like, Jesus, I don't know what I'm doing, and I'm probably going to crash and burn, but I got to give it my all. That's how he looks. Every time he's in the ring, he looks like a guy who's like, I'm desperate. There's no way I'm going to win against the guys unless I pull it all out. So let me do the best I can and see what I can do. He always seems to be that underdog. That's why he would actually be a good wrestler. Because he gets that. He gets that I have to look like I'm against inconceivable odds. And his facial expressions match it, that I don't want to dive off this rope, but, I mean, I'm not going to win if I don't do something. That's good. Johnny Knox gets in there, and I'm like, ah, you ain't no big deal. Big deal. You're Sami Zayn. I don't understand. Johnny Knoxville should have been in there saying, Sammy, you don't really think we're going to fight. I mean, obviously, if we're going to fight, I ain't winning. I'm not an idiot. I'm not afraid of you. But I'm not dumb enough to think I'm winning. So why don't we call this off? Because you beating me proves nothing. And then have Sami Zayn do it to him. Then it makes Sami Zayn look like a bigger jerk, Todd. But to not sell the haluva kick, God almighty, I literally jumped out of my chair screaming at the TV.
Well, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, Johnny Knoxville don't know what he's doing. And looks like he did a no-sell at all. Not showing ass.
No, Tom, it was a complete no-sell.
You know, personally, I think, you know, even if Johnny Knoxville wanted to do the old school Ric Flair, you know, daze and fall forward thing, that I would have been okay with that. He should have been knocked out of the ring, Okay, he does all these stunts on Jackass. He could have just thrown himself out of the ring and make it look, you know, make it look good. That kick is devastating to whoever Sami Zayn gave it to. And honestly, you know, I think that the WWE has realized they've gotten in way over their head with Johnny Knoxville, and they're making Sami Zayn, to be honest with you, they're making Sami Zayn look weak. And it actually, you know, I don't like, personally don't like Sami Zayn. I'm not a Sami Zayn fan, but good for Sami Zayn for giving him the second one, and it looks like it damn took his head off.
You're not going to convince me that WWE officials did not tell Johnny Knoxville to go down and stay down. You're not going to convince me. There's nobody backstage who said, now he's going to give you the haluva kick, but kind of no-sell it because he's going to give you another one. Nobody said that. I promise you nobody said that. And when the referee went down there quickly to check on Johnny Knoxville, yes, that's part of the routine to make it look like he's hurt. But I guarantee you, she's saying to him, stay down. Just lay there. Don't move around. Don't get up. I don't know for sure if Sami Zayn was pissed off. Maybe he wasn't. But I know that second haluva kick kept him down, and the first one didn't, so maybe he just got up and told him, you know, come on, stay down this time. I don't know. I don't know what happened there. I know it looked like shit. Powdered shit is what it looked like. So, I don't know. I don't know how these celebrities are going to work out. I do know that there was nothing on SmackDown to write home about, and I mean absolutely nothing to write home about. Brock Lesnar's big signing with Roman Reigns. We're starting to see the weakness in Brock Lesnar, aren't we? And the weakness in Brock Lesnar is he's too big a star for his own good. And by that I mean Brock Lesnar's one of those guys who the writers are going to go to and say, Brock, here's what you're – I don't need anybody to tell me what I'm going to say. I know what I'm going to say. And then he gets out there and he don't know what to say. And nobody dares tell him, well, you are going to learn this. No, they're just like, okay, Brock, you do whatever you want. And then he goes out there and says goofy stuff that doesn't make any sense. Paul Heyman, however, brought up again this Madison Square Garden thing, which is not televised. Now, would the WWE dare do a bait and switch and switch that title at a non-televised show and make this a non-unification match? I doubt it. But there's a reason they're bringing this up, and I don't know why they are, because they don't bring it up any other time. So I got this weird feeling that something big is going to happen. I just don't know what it's going to be. In the meantime, my advice for Brock Lesnar is this. Brock Lesnar has the most intimidating aura currently in the WWE, by far. And the things he does, even when he's beating up the security guards, where that usually looks really, really lame because they all just stand in a line like a kung fu movie and wait to get chopped. Even when he's beating up the security guards, it looked real and reckless. He threw that chair in that guy's face. I'm like, Jesus Christ, man. He's not being careful with him at all. He really looks like he's kicking your ass. So he's great that way. My advice for him is stop laughing. Stop laughing at everything somebody says. Stop just sitting there with your only facial expression being, it's not funny. And at some point, you got to get serious. At some point, you got to say, this isn't funny. My best friend and my manager stabbed me in the back. I was humiliated at a pay-per-view. You think you're a tough guy, and quite obviously you aren't, because you have to have everybody fight your battles for you. And I'm going to prove that at WrestleMania. Just laughing doesn't help because it doesn't get you any fan support. In other words, the good guy, which I guess is Roman Reigns in this, I mean, which is Brock Lesnar in this instance, has to feel a little bit like I'm fighting an uphill battle. Always, you're nothing and I'm just going to steamroll you. Then it doesn't feel like you're the good guy. And Roman Reigns didn't help by stepping out of the ring and saying, these are my people, and the whole freaking audience went wild. Now, what he meant was, I own these people to a certain extent. These people are here because of me, which is a boo line. You know, that's a line you get booed for. The only reason you even came here is to see me. You didn't come here to see anybody else. And then the crowd boos you because you're so egotistical. But he didn't even get that line correct because he said, these are my people, as if he's saying, I like all these people. That was not a good line. That was not a good line. And what's ending up happening here is you're going to find out that there's going to be more people, I fear, Mike, rooting for Roman Reigns than Brock Lesnar.
Right, and that's the thing. And now, as far as this whole switching it at a non-televised event, I remember maybe 4 or 5 years ago, they switched, I believe, the U.S. Championship at a house show or something like that, right? I could be wrong. It could have been the Intercontinental Championship. It could have been the U.S. Championship. But I believe they switched one of those two things. I believe it had something to do with I believe AJ Styles had something to do with that at the time.
It was AJ Styles.
I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So them switching it at a non-title. Now this was a much bigger title, but them switching a title at a non-televised event isn't totally unheard of, and I would put that at probably 60-40 the other way, but there is a chance that they switch this title at this MSG event. There is a chance.
Yeah, I think so too. Something's going on in Madison Square Garden because they never promote it this much. So something's amiss. My problem with the WrestleMania match is, if you are going to have just one champion, I'm promising you it's Roman Reigns. So that kind of lets the air out of the sails of this match. I wish they didn't do that. I wish they didn't. Because if it was just for one belt, it's possible that Brock Lesnar would have won one of them. He's not going to win them both because, from what I'm hearing, it's not going to be one of these things where they say, okay, you've won, therefore there is only one champion, the WWE Heavyweight Champion, which is what I thought the unification was going to be. What I'm hearing is, no, they're actually going to have both belts. They're actually going to have two belts, double champion. Okay, well, Brock Lesnar ain't going to put in that kind of time. So it would be both shows that are going without a champion for weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. So, unfortunately, if that's what they've got planned, then I'm pretty sure Roman Reigns is pulling this out. And Brock Lesnar will just take his bag of money and go back to his ranch somewhere for a little while, and I'm sure he'll be back. But Roman Reigns will be our twin champion, and then he'll be able to go on both shows. I don't know if the Usos will be able to. So I don't know. Maybe he'll have to be on one of the shows without the... I don't know how that's going to work, but it's not going to be just one belt. They're not going to say, we're taking these two belts and turning it into just one champion. From what I hear, that person who wins, if it does become a unification match, is going to actually hold two belts, Tom. So that makes it a little bit different.
Yeah, it also makes it a little bit weird because, I mean, what are they going to call? Is he going to call himself Roman Two Belts, just like Becky did? I mean, you know, Brock Lesnar's not winning. We all know that. It just makes the most sense for him not to. And this is the match that people want to see. Okay, this was supposed to happen at day one, and it didn't. And now this is like the match that people want to see. It's for WrestleMania unification match. It should just be one belt. And honestly,
okay. What I'm gonna do is I'm gonna ask both Mike and Tom to call back because I'm being told that the cell phone connection or whatever is bad. It's on my end; it's not on your end. But call back and maybe it'll establish a better connection because I can hear Todd. I'm having a hard time hearing Tom, and I'm having a hard time hearing Mike, and it's not clearing up. So both people call back, and that we can test. yeah, look, if Roman Reigns is going to carry around two belts, I guess that's fine, because then I don't know if he's going to have to defend it that way. Maybe he's just going to say, okay, I'm only going to defend the Universal Championship on this occasion, and I'm only going to defend the Heavyweight Championship on this occasion. So if that's the case, then it gives them the ability, Mike, to make Roman Reigns lose and still be a champion.
Right, and that's the thing. Just remember this. The only other person to hold two belts at the same time in the WWE was who? Chris Jericho.
Yep.
Remember? He held the World Championship and the WWE Championship. Well, used to be the WCW Championship.
That's absolutely right. So, Tom, I mean, that does make a difference, because then if Roman Reigns just loses one belt, he still ends up being the champion.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the last one to do it was Chris Jericho, and he did a pretty good job. But, you know, as far as, you know, eventually they unified it at one time for one, you know, for one belt, and then they did the brand split. And now there's two belts. I don't particularly agree with that. I, you know, honestly, if you're going to do a unification match, then it has to be one belt and change the design back to what it used to be, the Winged Eagle or the WWF Championship.
You'd think that they'd want to do that, but unfortunately, I guess they have plans, and they don't want to just have one champion going forward, so they can't do it. They kind of painted themselves in a corner, Todd, which is what the WWE does quite often.
Well, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, last time they did a unification title match, it was not a good idea. And, you know, have one champion, one unified champion on one show, and that's it. And
right.
Next, it was a disaster. That was when Brock Lesnar became the WWE champion. And they thought they were going to have Brock Lesnar be on both shows, but they changed it to exclusively one champion to one show.
Right. Yeah, so we'll see. We'll see what ends up happening with that. They may change that. I don't know. They haven't been super clear about it. But I want to get to the second half of the show, which is this overrated word that's being floated around here. There's a lot of sites who are asking people, who's the most overrated wrestler of all time? And I'm very interested in the responses, because I think the responses show what kind of fan you are. But first you have to define what overrated means. Overrated usually means, at least to me in the wrestling business, would mean someone who really didn't draw and wasn't really all that good, but somehow stuck around for a long time and made fans think, oh, well, he's legendary, he's great, when in fact he never really drew big money for the company and really wasn't that good of a wrestler. That's what comes to mind when I think of overrated. I'm about to read you some responses, and I'm not going to give anybody's names out. But I'm about to read some responses to who people think are overrated in the wrestling business. And I got to tell you, it blows my mind. Here's someone who says, probably Ric Flair and Roman Reigns. Here's somebody who says The Rock. Here's a guy who says Hulk Hogan, because he had the same gimmick for years. Here's a guy who says Brock Lesnar. Here's a guy who says John Cena. Here's a guy who says Goldberg, but Goldberg I don't think was ever overrated, because I don't think anybody ever really thought he was all that good. Folks, you all have a right to your opinion. And you don't have to like any of those wrestlers that I just named. Any of those people were overrated as a professional wrestler, then I would suggest that you probably don't know that much about the business. John Cena to this day sells merchandise. John Cena to this day sells out arenas. John Cena to this day is iconic in the WWE, and if he came back tomorrow and became the champion, he'd draw again. That's not being overrated. I don't care if he can't do one move. It's not being overrated. Hulk Hogan took wrestling from, with a little help from Vince McMahon, obviously, took wrestling from wrestling in armories to wrestling in gigantic arenas selling out 80,000, 90,000 at the time was the top selling event. You couldn't go anywhere without Hulk Hogan's face on a lunchbox, on a Band-Aid, on everything you could possibly think of. And somebody's going to tell me that's overrated? Nobody ever said he was a wrestling technician. That's not what a professional wrestler is supposed to be. I hate to burst your bubble. I know I get hate mail every time I say this. But let me make myself perfectly clear. There's nothing wrong with being a great technical wrestler. But if you think that that is the live-all and die-all of professional wrestling, you don't get it. That would be like saying in the music business, if you're not a Juilliard graduate musician, then you are overrated and in no way, shape, or form will any of the music you ever make be good. I know when people are on a chart and make billions of dollars who couldn't tune their own friggin' guitar. It's not about that, folks. The professional wrestling business is not about who's the greatest technical wrestler. If it was, then Dean Malenko would have been highly, highly, highly successful. It's about selling yourself. It's about drawing. It's about your worth to the company. Now, I could see people saying Hulk Hogan because they say, well, he didn't really do many moves. He didn't need to. He was selling out arenas. He didn't need to do anything more than he was doing. I don't even understand the philosophy behind anyone who could possibly say Ric Flair. Because Ric Flair not only sold out arenas, but he was a good technical wrestler. He was very good on the mic. I have no clue. My only assumption is the only time the guy who said Ric Flair ever saw him is when he was 65 years old wrestling Shawn Michaels. Because if you saw Ric Flair before that, and you honestly think that Ric Flair is overrated, that's insane. So first, let's talk about what overrated should mean. Overrated to me means it's exaggerated how they're worth to the company. People say, oh, they're very valuable to this company, but really they aren't. And they're also not very good in the ring. That would be overrated to me. And there's not a lot of wrestlers who fit that, really. Ton of wrestlers like that. I'm sure there's a few. But Mike, for people to literally, and then I know some people say the Ultimate Warrior too, because, yeah, listen, the Ultimate Warrior couldn't wrestle. So if you want to say he's overrated as an actual wrestling technician, well, did anybody ever say he was good? But if you're going to tell me he's overrated as an actual professional wrestler, you're insane. He drew big, huge crowds. He drew huge money for the WWE. Under no circumstance was his value to that company in any way, shape, or form overrated. So I think we have to define what overrated is, Mike, and certainly none of these people I just listed are in any way, shape, or form overrated.
Right. If technical wrestling was something that would have made somebody, then Kurt Angle wouldn't have had to change his thinking about, you know, about what makes a good professional wrestler. He could have just done what he done in the Olympics and been drawing people all over the place, right? I mean,
right.
Think about it. We got a pretty good technical wrestler right now in Chad Gable, but what's he doing? You know?
Yeah, exactly.
You're not gonna call Chad Gable overrated. He's kind of got the feel of a kind of a mixture between Kurt Angle and Ric Flair right now. Now he's a little bit smaller than Ric Flair and Kurt Angle, but again, he's got that feel to him. And you're gonna tell me I guarantee you, now Ric Flair's not gonna get in the ring, but I guarantee you if Vince McMahon or Tony Khan or Impact or whomever would sign Ric Flair, Ric Flair would draw.
I don't understand where these fans are coming from. I cannot for the life of me understand where these fans are coming from that are picking Hulk Hogan, Ric Flair. Was Roddy Piper overrated too? Did Roddy Piper do a whole bunch of scientific moves? I don't remember him doing any. He mostly just poked your eyes and kicked you and once in a while gave you a suplex. That's about it. Is he overrated? You know how much money he made for the company? So if you just want to define it on who is popular, who really can't wrestle, that's fine. But then they're not overrated because no one ever said they could wrestle well. They just said they were extremely good draws. I never heard anybody say, boy, that Hulk Hogan is a great technical wrestler. Boy, that Ultimate Warrior, he really knows his wrestling. I never heard anybody say that. So how can you be overrated if you were never rated that way to begin with? But if you're going to tell me their worth to the company was overrated, that's bullshit. That's not true at all. Not at all. Now let me give you a couple that I think is overrated. One you'll all probably agree with. One I'll probably get stoned to death for. First one is the great Khali. Now, he was never overrated as a wrestler. Everybody knew he couldn't wrestle. But nowadays, people are saying, well, you know, the legendary. Legendary in what capacity? Did he ever draw money in any way, shape, or form for the WWE? No. He didn't earn the WWE dime that I know of. And he was not a good wrestler. He's got legendary status now. I don't know what it's based on. You didn't draw money, and you weren't a good wrestler. So I would agree that he's overrated. Here's the second one. This one's going to be controversial. Cody Rhodes. Everybody said, well, you know, Cody, he's going to be the main force in AEW. He never really amounted to much there, and he was the guy doing the booking for a while, and fans weren't taken to him. He wasn't drawing nobody. Cody Rhodes was not the guy people were coming to see in AEW in the large part, despite the fact that he was booking himself. And in WWE, he wasn't the guy who anybody came to see. Now, he's a pretty good wrestler. I don't think he's necessarily overrated when it comes to his wrestling skills, but I think he's vastly overrated when it comes to his worth as to a federation that he's in. AEW, if they've lost him, they're going to do fine without him. You're not going to see any change in the ratings. You're not going to see any change in anything. And people say, okay, Cody's gone. Cody's going to show up in WWE. You're not going to see any change to the ratings. It's not going to make a difference. So to me, that's the people that are overrated, Tom. Not people like Hogan and The Warrior and then The Undertaker and Ric Flair.
Yeah, and I'm gonna take everybody back a little bit because we all watched wrestling in the 90s when it was real hot. I'm going to explain to everybody who said that that Hulk Hogan is overrated. No, that's crap. It's not. Ultimate Warrior is not overrated. That's crap. He drew huge money for that company, day in and day out. He did. Here's who I think is overrated, and I'll prove it. Bret the Hitman Hart. Everybody's going to crap on me. Yes, he's a good wrestler. But Bret Hart did not draw flies on shit for the WWE, and Vince McMahon signed him to a huge deal. He wasn't getting a return on his investment. He said, I can't afford you. Go to WCW, and 1 month later. He's offering the Ultimate Warrior, who crapped on him a year prior, $750,000 plus royalties. I have a post of the contract. So don't tell me Bret the Hitman Hart was the man, because he wasn't, and he's extremely overrated. And that's why he was outed from the company in 97. Period. End of story.
Well, I'll tell you this. I'm going to disagree with that, because he sold a ton of merchandise. Bret Hart sold a ton of merchandise, and he actually really was a very, very, very good professional wrestler. Toward the end of his reign, he became expendable because he had gotten so full of himself that he was doing things contrary to what would make him important in the company. I'm a good guy in Canada. I'm a bad guy in the United States. He was starting to ease off of his better matches and relying more upon, the little clique that he had. He was hard to work with in the dressing room. Some people were saying bad things were happening there. But I don't think he was overrated as a wrestler. I think he was a very, very good professional wrestler. And he certainly sold merchandise. So I don't necessarily put him in that same boat. Another one that comes to mind is Alberto Del Rio. Because I know in Mexico he may not be overrated. In Mexico, apparently he drew. But I don't think Del Rio drew flies in the WWE, no matter what they tried to do with him. Make him a heel, make him a face, he didn't draw. Did he sell merchandise? No. Was he a great wrestler? I would say he was an average wrestler. But that's not great. And he seems to have this name like, oh, it's Alberto Del Rio, he's a big deal. I never really considered him a big deal, Todd. So I think that's another one you could add to the list.
Oh, you're absolutely right there, like you said about Alberto Del Rio and everything. You know, the reason why he was in the WWE because his uncle got inducted in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, that is part of the reason. Mike, what do you think about both Bret Hart and Alberto Del Rio?
I agree. I mean, think about it. There are other wrestlers that are, you know, all overrated. Yeah, Bret Hart is overrated. Alberto Del Rio is overrated. Cody Rhodes is a bit overrated, you know. I'll add another one on the female side. Just because of her, she got in just because of her, who her cousin is, and that is of course our favorite whipping girl, Miss Broken Nose herself. There you go. You know that Nia Jax. She's just because she's a big girl, and just because she what did she do? Yeah, she held some championships, but what did she do other than kind of hurt people and not know how to sell and not know how to fall and all this stuff? She's overrated, you know. She was overrated from the time, from almost the time she got. Unlike and as far as Cody Rhodes goes, Marcus, I guarantee you, if you take Dustin and he goes back to the WWE and he puts on that Goldust gimmick, he's gonna sell.
Yeah, and a lot of people hated that gimmick, including Cody, but, you know, I don't know. Here's what I think. You're right about Nia Jax. I know most people didn't think she could wrestle, so she's not overrated in that department, because I never knew anybody who said she was a great wrestler, but there were a lot of people who said, well, she's an important part of the WWE. She's a top star. I never saw that. She's gone and nobody blinked an eye. Imagine if Charlotte Flair walked out right now. That would be a major blow to the women's division. Imagine if Becky Lynch walked out right now. That's a major blow. The people who I think of as overrated are the people who the fans are convinced if that person ever left that company would be in trouble. And the guys that they're naming, that would be the people who, like I said, are important to the company. That would be guys like in their heyday, Hulk Hogan. Do you imagine if Hulk Hogan in the middle of Hulkamania said, I ain't wrestling no more? So how the hell is Hulk Hogan overrated? Hulk Hogan and Roddy Piper together created such an aura that it transcended wrestling. How are either one of them guys overrated? Ric Flair single-handedly carried wrestling on his shoulders for a long period of time. How the hell is Ric Flair overrated? Ultimate Warrior was everywhere, plastered everywhere. He got so much publicity. How the hell is he overrated? Now, if you just want to say to me, you know, the Ultimate Warrior was not a good wrestler, I agree with you. He was not a good technical wrestler. But if you're asking me, was he a good professional wrestler, the answer is yes, because he drew, he sold tickets, he sold merchandise, he created an aura about him that was plastered on everything. How in the world can you possibly think he's overrated when he made that kind of money for his company? Can't think that's overrated, folks. I'm just trying to help you out here. If you're a student of professional wrestling, please understand there's a difference between you saying, I don't feel he's a good technical wrestler and he's overrated. Because overrated means people said he drew, but he didn't. His matches were no good and nobody cared about them. See, there's a difference. I could put two guys in the ring who are technical wizards, Joe Smith and John Brown, and nobody knows either one of them, and they basically, one has red trunks and one has blue trunks, and they got the same haircut, and nobody knows who the hell they are. And they could have a 35-minute match that would make people impressed, but nobody cares. Nobody cares. Hulk Hogan versus Andre the Giant, people went friggin' nuts. People cared. That's the mark of a good professional wrestler. Making people care about your match. Because when people care about your matches, they show up to your matches. They buy the pay-per-views to see your matches. They buy your merchandise to support you. And that's what the business is all about, folks. I hate to break your hearts. Is the best actor always the most successful actor? Is the best musician always the person on the top 10? You're sitting there looking at Cardi B. Cardi B, without a good studio and an auto-tune and a million other musicians backing her up, couldn't win a karaoke contest in a biker bar. But she's a multimillionaire. Is she overrated? Or did she find the way to success? So, I don't know. It discourages me when I see fans on sites really saying with a straight face, Ric Flair was overrated. Hulk Hogan's overrated. I can't even believe it. We can take a real hard dive into people who are overrated. And most of them, unfortunately, are going to be names that should have succeeded but didn't because they weren't up to it. Who we thought were going to be big names. Somebody we said, oh, they're definitely going to rise to the top, and they didn't. Through their own, nothing to do with the WWE cutting them off at the knees or WCW cutting them off at the knees. I'll tell you one who comes to mind. And I don't even think he was vastly overrated. I just think he was slightly overrated, and that's Lex Luger. Lex Luger tried to be the big all-American hero in the WWE. Nobody took to him. He jumped ship to Nitro. Nobody cared. The Federation did not lose any fans or gain any fans by having Lex Luger there or having Lex Luger leave. I don't think he sold a ton of merchandise. And I don't think the vast majority of his matches were anything memorable. Or that anybody particularly even cared whether he won or lost, in at least in the WWE. So there's another one that comes to mind, Mike. Lex Luger, I think, could be considered somewhat overrated.
Right. Whereas when Randy Savage and ultimately Elizabeth, when Randy Savage left the WWE, WWF at the time, and went to WCW, that was a blow. Because at the time, he was still selling merchandise in the WWE, you know? And then he goes to the WCW, right?
Right. Yes. No, that's absolutely correct. Again, if you're going to really talk about overrated, it's got to be people who we were absolutely sure if they ever left the company, it would be a devastating blow. And it turned out it wasn't. Or people who somehow managed career with never really being very popular, never really being a top guy, but still managed to hang around for years and years and years and years and years and years and years. And fans now consider them, oh, they're legendary. There's not that many of them. There really isn't. It's a whole other conversation, folks, and I know I got people saying, well, come on, some of them guys didn't know any kind of wrestling. I get it. But you're mixing apples and oranges, folks. I just told you, for people making millions of dollars in the music business, they can't tune their own guitar. So are they overrated as musicians? Well, I don't – maybe if you're a musician, you can say, well, that guy can't play. It doesn't matter if he's out – he's selling Madison Square Garden out, and you're still playing a 200-seat club. Then I got news for you. You can have all the technical skill in the world. It ain't working. Not only is it not working, but you're never going to achieve what they achieve. So they're not overrated. They found something to make themselves a star. And once you're that big of a star, you can never be considered overrated in my mind because you've done that. Now, if you want to just, like I said, break down technical skills, okay. Or you want to break down mic skills, okay. I think CM Punk is overrated as an actual in-ring wrestler. I don't think his wrestling, his actual physical wrestling, is all that exciting. However, CM Punk's claim to fame is he can talk a good fight. He can get fans emotionally invested in who's going to win or who they want to win. And he's a very, very good performer when it comes to drawing that crowd. So he's not overrated. He just has that one aspect of his wrestling that's overrated. There's many aspects to a professional wrestler. If you want to call one out as overrated, fine. Then I'll call out CM Punk as being overrated, actual technical in-ring, how exciting his in-ring work is. I find it boring most of the time, but that's just me. Todd, who do you think is a good example of someone who fans probably think is overrated, but probably really isn't?
Oh man, there's a lot of it's a tough one. Andre or something, Andre the Giant.
You know, that's a very, very good one. Andre the Giant, just due to his own physical issues, couldn't do much in the ring. But he never failed to sell out any place he was appearing. Now, he was around mostly at a time when he didn't sell a whole bunch of merchandise, but he was, if you put Andre the Giant on a card, it was almost guaranteed to sell out. So that's a good one. People would say, oh, yeah, Andre the Giant wasn't nothing, but yeah, he was, actually. His face was on the cover of every wrestling magazine back then. Him, along with Hogan, had one of the biggest shows in the history of professional wrestling. So, again, that's somebody that you might be able to pick on their in-ring skills, Mike, but you can't pick on the fact that they were great professional wrestlers.
No, you can't. And look, think about it. There are a number of guys who may think, that are overrated, but you got to look deeper at them. For instance, there are people that are going to go, MJF is overrated. No, he isn't. You know, he's just that damn good. In fact, I'll put it to you this way. I don't know what his length of contract is with AEW, but, you know, probably within the next couple years it's going to come up. And if they lose him, it's a blow. It's a big blow if they lose MJF. That's another way you can measure how over or underrated a person is if when their contract comes up and the company they're with, it would be a blow to lose this particular person, be it male or female, then they're either underrated or overrated, or they're just rated right where they're supposed to be.
Right,
you know?
Because you could put that on anybody. I mean, right now I could say, well, Shinsuke Nakamura, prove to me he draws. Prove to me he's selling merchandise. Prove to me somebody's only going to the show to see Shinsuke Nakamura. He's not selling any merchandise. There's a handful of fans, if that, who go there because, oh, I'm going to see Shinsuke Nakamura. But if he went to Japan, well, that's going to be a whole different ball game, isn't it? So, and nobody denies that he's good at what he does. So it also depends on what territory you're in. Some people are overrated only because of the way they're used. Some people are underrated because of the way they're used. My litmus test for whether you're overrated or not is like Mike was discussing. If leaving the company is a blow and a real problem and a vacancy you have to fill, then you're not overrated. If Shinsuke Nakamura was to pack his bags tomorrow, half the fans wouldn't notice. And yet he's still a great wrestler. But for the WWE, he's probably overrated as far as his worth. He's probably overrated. Doesn't mean he's not a good wrestler. It just means for this company, his worth is less than you might imagine. People say, well, you know, they have Shinsuke Nakamura on their roster. The first thing you think of is, oh, wow, well, okay. Well, that's great. I mean, he's a name. He's a big star, international star. But then you see the way they're using him, and you say, well, if he left, it's no big deal. So you could be overrated that way, too. Your worth to the company could be overrated. Now, we should speak about underrated. Apparently, Elias has no creative plans in the WWE in the foreseeable future. That's the word I get, is that the writers had come up with something, and they did not, I guess, get it approved by Vince McMahon. Vince McMahon didn't like what they came up with, so they shelved that, and currently his status is listed as the creative has nothing for him. That's unbelievable. That's unbelievable. There's a case of underrated. Now, nobody is going to say that Elias' in-ring skills are on par with Chad Gable. There's not a universe in the world who would think that's true. However, I would argue that when Elias was really in his prime and was getting the whole crowd to sing along with him and chant Walk with Elias, he was a hell of a lot bigger draw than Chad Gable. And its worth to the company was far more at that time. The WWE that destroyed it. So again, don't be confused by that. Don't be confused with a guy who's being held back as, well, he's overrated. He's not overrated. It's just that the company don't use him. If the company were to use him, and he could become a valuable commodity. WWE has a lot of valuable commodities that they're just sitting on. We know that. But also ask yourself this, and this is easier to tell whether somebody's overrated or underrated. If the WWE is not using them and you think they're overrated and then they go to another company and they light it up, were they really overrated or were they just underused? Cesaro's a perfect example. Now, Cesaro's going to be gone from the WWE. In fact, he is gone from the WWE. Cesaro was slightly overrated only in one respect. There was no possible way he could sell his own fights. He was not able to do it. In ring, he was fantastic. One of the most fun wrestlers to watch in the WWE, as far as I'm concerned, in WWE history. I loved watching Cesaro's matches. They were always a little bit different. He mixed things up. He had his regular moves, but he'd always do them differently or in a different order. He wasn't lazy. He didn't do the same moves in the same order and the same stuff. He always mixed things up. He was always fun to watch. So he's not overrated as a performer, but he is overrated as far as the worth to the company, because he's going to go and it's not going to make a difference. They weren't selling a bunch of Cesaro merchandise. He wasn't packing fans into arenas to see him. He wasn't. Say what you want, but that's the truth. Was it the WWE's fault? Maybe. But you have to give Cesaro some of the blame, too, because he was given some reasonable pushes, and he wasn't able to sustain them. And not everybody can. And, you know, in the chat room, Tom's saying, you know, it's a shame about Cesaro. It is, because he was a great player. He was great. Going to be the top guy. He's never going to be that main draw. But man, we can put him in a match and we can guarantee we're going to have a good match, which is not always the case with your top draws. So it was always good to rely on a Cesaro to pull your show out of a hole where you say we don't have that many potential great matches. But we got Cesaro going up against somebody and that could potentially steal the show and send fans home happy. Not going to have that anymore. Now, we'll find out how overrated or underrated he was, because he's probably going to go to AEW. And if he lights it up over there, then you can rest assured he was underrated. If he doesn't, then maybe the overrated sticks. I'll tell you a really good one, Mike. And this one will probably be controversial, too. I think Ronda Rousey's overrated. We all know she can't wrestle. Technically wrestle, but I think she's overrated of her worth to the company. I don't think people show up just because Ronda Rousey's on the card. I don't even think she's particularly popular. So she has a big name, but I don't think that name is translating into big bucks. I could be wrong, but I don't see that many people cheering for her, buying her merchandise, Mike.
Right. Let's compare this, okay? Okay. When her contract comes up after WrestleMania, I think that's when her contract comes up, right? Ronda Rousey's contract. Will she be missed by the fans when her contract comes up? I would wager to say very doubtful. Whereas if, let's just say for the sake of argument, if Charlotte Flair's contract would come up after WrestleMania, would she be missed? I think she would. In fact, it would be, I would wager to say it's less of a blow if Ronda Rousey leaves than if Charlotte Flair would leave. And it would be more of a blow if, say, Charlotte Flair would end up in AEW than Ronda Rousey, because nobody cares about Ronda Rousey right now. She doesn't want to put in the time, whereas Charlotte Flair, everybody knows who she is, number one. Everybody knows she's put in the time. There have been times when Charlotte has kind of been lackadaisical in the ring, but still, when you've got Charlotte Flair and Naomi, and Naomi's coming off of a big layoff, and they put on basically a near five-star match, and this is two girls, one's coming off a layoff, then you would wager to say that Charlotte Flair is going to be a hot commodity when her contract comes up. Whereas Ronda Rousey isn't.
And here's another good example. I have a friend who owns a memorabilia store. He sells sports memorabilia. And some of it, some wrestling. He got in a shipment of pop figures, Funko Pop figures, and I think it had like the Street Profits and Otis and Asuka and a couple little Stone Cold ones, and a few, you know, maybe six or eight wrestlers. Guess which one is the first one's gone? Guess which one flew off the shelf. That means she's valuable to the company. She's been gone for a long time, and I know people will say, well, they got along perfectly fine without her. Well, have they? The women's division looks pathetic right now. And she's obviously moving merchandise. If she can move those figures like that, she's obviously moving merchandise. And I think she was hitting a stride with the fans where she was just starting to become popular because they were allowing her to take off that phony mask of I'm a mysterious, oriental, dark assassin and just being a fun-loving, upbeat, fun person. And people, it became infectious. And people were like, she's actually fun to watch. And then unfortunately, with her injuries and whatever else happened, she'd been gone a while. Bayley would be another example. You ruined Bayley. People say, well, Bayley's been out forever and she's not been missed. Well, no, the character that she played before she left is not missed. Had you kept the character that she had before and really exploited it the right way, she definitely would have been missed, Mike. So there's two good examples from the women's division, I think, of one who I think very much maybe underrated and another one who could be underrated if handled right.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, look, if you bring Bayley back and you know that after this long layoff with that injury, people are going to want to cheer Bayley. They're just going to want to cheer her, and she's not going to be able to get over as a heel. You know that, right? So the best thing for them to do when she comes back is to roll with it and bring her back with almost to the point of her being that same, bring back the waving Bayley buddy things, whatever things, you know, whatever. You know, that's what should be done. Now, will the WWE do that? I don't know. Because I think Bayley could sell merchandise, could sell a ton of merchandise if she's handled right.
She could have because, in some respect, Bayley was a female John Cena. She was the all-American girl next door, the fan who ended up being a wrestler, the one that the little girls looked up to and the teenage girls looked up to and the adults found, you know, adorable and rootable and relatable. I know that they hit a stale part of her career where they said, we need a career change for her because this ain't working. It wasn't that it wasn't working because she wasn't doing it right. It wasn't working because you weren't writing it right. You destroyed that character. Bayley did not destroy that character. You destroyed that character. Just like you destroyed several other characters. Now, I heard a fascinating interview before I came on the air here with Exotic Adrian Street, if anybody remembers him. Old-time worker. And he was talking about a guy named Jimmy Savile, who is dead now. He used to host Top of the Pops. He was a wrestler for a while, and he turned out to be a pretty prolific child molester and not a nice guy. But back then, nobody knew that. And for a while, he wrestled. But he was more of a celebrity who wrestled. I think he wrestled a couple of hundred matches or something. And Adrian Street had made such a good point. He said, I was a top heel, and I had just come off like an hour draw or a half-hour draw with the champion, and we were going to have the big rematch. And that was coming up in about a month. And the promoter had told me, okay, you're going to fight Jimmy Savile in the meantime, you know, next week. And, you know, you need to make him look really good, and we don't want him to lose, so it's going to go to maybe a DQ or a draw. And Adrian Street said, you got to be fucking kidding me. I'm not doing it. And he said, I said to Jimmy Savile, it's nothing against you, but I'm not doing it. And the reason I'm not doing it, and if they force me to go out there in the ring, I'm not giving you anything, is because this does not make sense. If I can go to a draw with a champion and you want me to be a believable contender that I might beat him next time, you can't have me sell to this guy. because then that destroys it. That destroys the illusion. And I'm not doing it. That's precisely correct. That's the right mentality. Now, somebody can say, oh, well, Adrian Street refused to lose to somebody. No, he refused to lose to someone under those circumstances, which makes his future match irrelevant. That is a philosophy that the WWE needs to understand. That's a philosophy that the WWE sucks at right now. When you had someone like a Bayley, when you had someone like an Oscar, when you had Rusev and all those people, you don't have them lose to lesser people and then say, well, now they're in the title picture. But we don't believe that they're in the title picture then. It doesn't work. If you want to rebuild them, then you got to spend a month or two doing that. In other words, if you say, well, Rusev, you're on the cycle down and you've lost to a lot of people, we want you in the title picture by 6 months from now, so we're going to start building you back up, fine. Go from just lost three matches. You can't lose to Rick Boogs and then say, I'm taking on Roman Reigns next week. Well, I don't know what to tell you. I don't want to see it because it's irrelevant. It's an irrelevant match. So again, when fans say somebody's overrated, you also got to look at their booking, because just as many people are underrated because they're handcuffed. They're absolutely handcuffed. And they could do way, way more. Now all of a sudden we see a guy like John Moxley saying, you know, sometimes I miss collaborating with the WWE writers. Oh, I thought they sucked. See, once you get all that hardcore out of your system, and once you say, I want to prove myself that I'm a great wrestler, or I'm a great draw, or I'm a tough dude, and I want to do this hardcore stuff because that's my forte, at some point, when you get that out of your system, you then say, how do I remain a big deal? I've blown my load. I've done everything there is to do. What next? WWE was always good at that. They're not so good at it now, but they used to be good at it. To be good at taking a character like Ambrose and just giving them something stupid like a plant. I want people to understand that I believe it was Chris Jericho that destroyed the plant. When Chris Jericho destroyed the plant, or whoever destroyed Xavier Woods' trombone, those are inanimate objects. And people legitimately got heat, legitimate heat, just like Charlotte Flair got legitimate heat for tearing a rag doll in half. So they know how to do it. They just get lazy. And they think, well, as long as we have Roman Reigns, as long as we can call on Brock Lesnar when we need him once in a blue moon, we don't need to build up a Sami Zayn. We don't need to build up a KO. We don't need to build up all these undercard people. Yes, you do. As a matter of fact, it's more crucially important than ever that you do. Now, I heard a lot of people complain about the Madcap Moss thing this week, saying, Jesus Christ, did we have to have another match with him? This was the only thing on SmackDown I actually liked. Here's why I liked it. It's branches on a tree. Madcap Moss sold his neck injury, which, by the way, we've reviewed the tape a million times. It's 1,000% Madcap Moss's fault. And to his credit, he apologized to everybody for taking the move wrong. You don't tuck your head when you're taking that move. You land flat. But the reason this was important is threefold. One, it sells Madcap Moss. He's hurt. He's clearly not 100%. He didn't want to fight McIntyre when he was 100%. Baron Corbin said he was going to fight him instead, and then backs out of it, and Moss doesn't back out of it. Moss doesn't say, well, that's ridiculous. I'm hurt. I'm not doing this. I'll go get a WWE doctor's note that says I can't wrestle. No, he got in, and he actually did okay. That's because they're testing the waters to see after this incident, is it possible we can turn Moss on Corbin and get some support from Moss? Number two, it sells McIntyre as, well, I wasn't even ready for the opponent, and I know I got to fight two-on-one, and here we go. And it sells Corbin. It sells Corbin as a coward who really doesn't care about Moss. So there are branches on the tree there, Mike. And so that was actually one of the better parts of SmackDown.
And think about this. Let's just say they do end up turning Madcap Moss. I mean, we've seen him do jokes against what's his name? Those corny, bad jokes against. I mean, what a reaction would be if he did a couple of those bad jokes against, let's say, I don't know, Happy Corbin.
Right.
You know?
Right.
You know, that's where these branches on these trees are, you know? And that's, I mean, we've for a long time we've seen trees being planted and branches being there, and they just don't take the branches, right? Or flat out lack of branches, you know? That's the big problem with the WWE, you know, right now, is that there are branches on some trees that they just refuse to take, you know?
You're absolutely correct, and I don't know if this is going to be another one, Tom, but at least that particular match had a few little branches that we could say, whether we like whether it's going or not, we say there's some things there that could be worked out storyline-wise.
Yeah, it could be, and that's actually it threw me off because right before the match happened, it was like, oh, Happy Corbin's going against Drew McIntyre. I leave the room and come back, and it's Madcap Moss. I was like, what happened? I missed that part of the, I missed that part of the show. I didn't think where it was going. I was like, okay, this is interesting. And he's selling his injury from the week before, which is awesome. But here's what I don't really agree with. If you turn Madcap Moss against Happy Corbin has this gimmick where he's undefeated. They always say it, the undefeated Happy Corbin.
Yep.
So you're going to turn Madcap Moss against Happy Corbin and beat Happy Corbin? So what is that?
Probably not. I would imagine what would happen is Moss would lose and McIntyre would ultimately win. It's probably what's coming there. Maybe McIntyre would win with a little help from Moss or something. I'm not sure. But here's what I think you could do with Madcap Moss, Todd. I think you could make him this tough guy who puts up a really good fight, but it's probably just sort of mid-card status, but you can get heat off of him if you beat him. In other words, he's a jovial, funny, good-natured, and pretty tough guy, and the main bad guys beat the hell out of him on their way to fighting somebody who's a little bit more, up the ladder. I think that's probably how you'd use Moss.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you say, with Madcap Moss and everything, he could be one of those tough mid-card guys with a wisecracks and everything guy as a mid-card.
Right, he's almost like R-Truth, Mike, in the sense that R-Truth is sort of beloved for his wacky, zany stuff. But if somebody was to really do something horrible to him, they get heat because fans say, oh, that's bullshit, I like him. You know what I mean? So you can get sympathy. And the other face who's going to fight that heel later gets the benefit of that.
Absolutely. And think about this. Madcap Moss could be a bigger version of what the 1-2-3 Kid was before he was X-Pac. Remember, X-1-2-3 Kid, was beating up on he's a small guy, he can't get this thing done. Oh, but he beat Razor Ramon. But he beat XYZ, whatever, And it was, they took him seriously, They took this 1-2-3 Kid seriously to the point of when he went away for a while and then they brought him back and he was X-Pac, there you go.
Yeah, I mean, Moss could be one of those guys who, no, he doesn't win a lot, but sometimes he upsets people that you don't think he should upset. That could be his gimmick, and certainly he's got something to offer the company. So we'll see where that goes. Getting back to the original point, though, what I want all these fans who wrote into this blog and gave their opinions on who is overrated to understand is this. You have every right to say, I don't enjoy watching Hulk Hogan matches. That's fine. You'll get no argument from me. I don't even care if you say I don't enjoy watching Ric Flair's matches. You'll get no argument from me. You enjoy what you enjoy, and you dislike what you dislike. The difference is in facts. I could sit here and tell you I do not enjoy Rush, the rock group Rush. I do not enjoy their rated musicians. They're not overrated musicians. They're highly skilled musicians. I just don't like what they do. That's the difference. So if you're going to say, I don't like Ric Flair's matches, I find them boring, that's fine. If you're going to say, because I don't like Ric Flair's matches, he's an overrated wrestler, that's not true. That's not true. There's no one who has drawn money for a company that's overrated. It just isn't. Because that's what you're supposed to do. That's your job. That would be like saying your job is to dig a ditch, and you dig a really good ditch and a really deep ditch in a really good length of time, and they say, I didn't like the shovel. So your dig ditching is overrated. Well, it has nothing to do with it. They accomplished their job. The Ultimate Warrior accomplished his job. He sold a ton of merchandise. He sold out a bunch of arenas. He was a hero to the kids especially. He did his job, as did Hulk Hogan. Now, Goldberg in this stage of his career, I would say is overrated. I don't believe that there's a ton of people who would buy tickets just because Goldberg's on a card anymore. I don't believe it. However, I do damn well believe it when he was in WCW because the ratings showed it. I don't care if he knew how to wrestle or not. He was drawing eyes to the product. He was doing his job. Was most of it the way he was booked? Yes. But that's irrelevant. He was accomplishing what they wanted him to accomplish. So I could turn that argument around and I could say Dean Malenko was overrated. And people would say, what do you mean? He's one of the greatest technicians of all time. Yeah. Did he ever sell out Madison Square Garden? Yeah. Was he ever the main event of WrestleMania? Yeah. How much merchandise did he sell? How successful was he at his job? See what I mean? Ultimate goal of professional wrestler is to be that main event guy, to be that guy who draws fans, to be that guy who sells merchandise, to be that guy who's valuable to the company, so that your job is assured because you are earning money for your company. You're a valuable player in your company. It isn't to be the best technical wrestler in the world. That's irrelevant. We are talking about a predetermined business. Period. So their skill would be great. I mean, if they have both, that's fantastic. If they have a lot of skill and at the same time they can draw and they can sell merchandise and they can, you know, do what they do, then that's icing on the cake. But it's not necessary. Shawn Michaels was one of those guys who could do all of that. He was great in the ring. He was very, very good on the mic. He was a huge draw, and he sold a ton of merchandise. That's why they put up with bullshit for so long. Randy Orton has had a how many year career? 20-year career. He's still going strong. He hasn't had a lot of five-star matches, in my opinion. But Randy Orton's a guy that if he's gone for too long, people are like, where's Randy Orton? He's become a major player. Those are the guys we're talking about. Those are the guys that you know, you can't, you can't say they're overrated. You can't. You just can't throw a name like Ric Flair or Hulk Hogan out there. It's just dumb. I'm very disappointed, really. I mean, I thought we were going to see some insightful picks by the fans, and probably less than 10% of thousands of people who wrote into this website, less than 10% of them had a point. There are a couple of people who said Alberto Del Rio. That's a good point. There were a couple of people who said the Great Khali. That's a point. Because, again, I don't think they drew. I don't think they made money for their company. I think they're a person that they utilized, but there was nothing there that they said, oh, well, we're making money hand over fist. So you can say what you want about Bray Wyatt's skill in the ring. He was a valuable player to the WWE. That's why we were so shocked when they let him go, and that's why fans are still saying, what the fuck, man? Because despite the fact that you might not have been entertained by his matches, you were sure as hell entertained by what he did outside the ring. And it made him a very valuable player to the company. Whereas a guy like Matt Cardona, you didn't really miss him. He wasn't selling merchandise, but now he goes on the independent scene, and you're like, oh, he's a big deal now. Because he was probably underrated. Overrated to the WWE because there was no value there. Your worth as a professional wrestler is the same thing as your worth as an actor. It doesn't matter how technically good you are. It's how well you can draw and how much money you can make for the studio or the federation that is paying you. That's all there is to it, folks, the wrestling business. Now, we can all marvel when somebody does a great move and say, man, those guys are athletically whatever. And that's fine. But you can't put down people whose main worth to the company, Mike, is making that company big money.
Absolutely. You know, and that's the thing. And think about this. Who's the most worth professional, women's professional wrestler in WWE right now? Who's the one? And she hadn't been in the ring very much, but who's the most worth wrestler right now on that side? It's got to be the number one merchandise seller right now, and that's Alexa Bliss.
Yep.
Think about it. And number two, Marcus, think about this. How good is Randy Orton? Not only do we care about him, but he's basically dragging Riddle along for the ride. People are caring about Riddle.
Yep. You're 1,000% correct, Mike. And that's why I've never said Randy Orton was overrated. I've only said that I'm disappointed in Randy Orton because sometimes if he doesn't get exactly what he wants or a storyline he likes, he dogs it. And I don't like to see that. So I get disappointed because he's got the talent to not dog it. He's got the talent to throw everything in it and try to make it as good as he can. And he's one of those guys that says, this is garbage and I don't care. That I don't like about him. But you're 1,000% correct. He's extremely important to this federation because 20-some-odd years he's been on top. That doesn't happen because you suck. That doesn't happen because you don't know what you're doing. Period. He still draws. People are still chanting Randy Orton. It's pretty amazing, really. So he's definitely one of their most valuable players. He would hurt like hell to be lost, even at his age now. So, Todd, guys like that, yeah, they're invaluable to the company. They draw money. They sell merchandise. And whether they are technically on the level of a Dean Malenko or a high flyer like Ricochet or something, that's irrelevant, Todd, because they're doing their job.
Well, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, when Dean Malenko was wrestling, he was not entertaining. He was just was an old nonsense guy when he wrestled.
Right. And never achieved much because of that, because fans just didn't care about him. Tom, you know, these fans have got to wake up and realize that the worth of a professional wrestler isn't his actual skill level in the ring. It's how well he does his job for the company and how much money he can make for the people who employ him.
100%. And I'm going to comment on the Randy Orton thing. A couple of weeks ago, I was legitimately upset that I heard Randy Orton's going to be gone for a couple of months, because just when I was starting to not hate Matt Riddle, because this tag team was actually kind of entertaining, and then you hear Randy Orton might be gone for a couple of months, you're like, oh, man, now what? But he's back the next week. You're like, whoa, that's a relief. Randy Orton is a Randy.
You know,
Orton
that's
is
a
very
great
valuable.
Point. That's a great point, Tom, because we reported that, and so did everybody else, that Randy Orton was going to be gone for a length of time. Apparently, whatever happened that they thought he was going to be, they didn't feel they could lose him. And the WWE said, no time off for you. We can't lose you. What does that say? Now, I'm telling you that Randy Orton in the past year and a half, 2 years, maybe 3 years, hasn't put on a five-star match. But it doesn't matter. He's that valuable to the company, and that is a very good example you can put on the center, is that a guy like that is still drawing after 20 years. He's still valuable after 20 years. He's still so relevant that they say, we can't afford to let you take some time. If Ricochet's not on TV for 6 months, nobody says anything. It's a whole different ball of wax. Mike, I'm going to give you the final word. I mean, is wrestling not about drawing and making money for your company? That's the bottom line.
It is, and I'll go back to Alexa Bliss. All right,
yep.
She is the number one merchandise seller for the WWE right now, right? On the women's side, right?
Yep.
You know, and she has done basically bupkis in the ring right now. They added
right.
in a few matches here and there. But what is her goal? Her goal is to sell merchandise, and she's been doing it.
Absolutely correct. They could not afford to let Alexa Bliss go. Thanks for listening, folks.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio.